for example, that guy on the street said it was his birthday and I wanted to give him something nice. And we were in Boston and I got him a cupcake because it was apparently his birthday. I don't care if it was a lie. I don't care if it was something that he just made up so he could get something in return. But it was like just because. And like, I don't really have an exact answer why I do it. It's just because I feel like it's the right thing to do.
Welcome to Giving Voices, stories told by and about philanthropists, where philanthropists and their advisors tell stories about how they influenced, experienced, and led through times of transition, where we celebrate and learn from that transition, that period where decisions are made, and where we always find a meaningful way to connect and foster community. I'm your host, Stephanie Borsari, and now for today's show. Hello, Giving Voices community. Today, I am so excited to have a very special guest with me. You might remember in our last episode, the conversation with Emily Goodstein, that at the very end, I said to her, you know, you helped me make a decision as Emily shared her wish for the social sector. You'll remember Emily commented that she strongly believes that all the wisdom in the world is contained in the brains of girls, and that she suggested the world would be a better place if we were all more receptive about what girls have to say. And as the mother of an extraordinary girl, I completely concur. There was an event a little while ago that made me start to consider inviting today's special guest to be a guest on the podcast. And my conversation with Emily helped clinch the decision to go forward with it. And I'm just lucky she accepted. Listeners, it is my special pride and pleasure to introduce you to my daughter, LJ Borsari. Hello, LJ. Thank you for joining me today.
Hi, Mom.
This is so awesome, you guys. She's stationed in another room in our house, and I'm at my desk, and it is allergy season. So if we both sound just a little bit froggy, that is why. But LJ, the reason you're here with me today is because we've been having some really interesting, in my mind, interesting conversations about philanthropy and the charitable sector. And it really started with that event I just mentioned at the beginning of this episode, where you attended the movie screening for Uncharitable, along with a lot of other folks from the town, and our the after movie discussion. And aside from a three-year-old kid, you were the only under 20-something in the room. Can you share with me and with our listeners what the experience of attending that movie and the after talk was like for you?
Well, when I first saw the movie, I was kind of intrigued because I didn't know what you did for work. And then that really helped me figure out what you exactly did. And I would tell people like, oh, yeah, my mom works with rich people who give her money, who then does something with the money. Well, I didn't know what she did. So once I watched the movie, I was like, oh, okay. And then the after talk, it was really interesting to hear other people's like opinions on the movie and everyone else's like input. And there's a lot of like contradicting like opinions and people that were like, oh, well, I thought this was a little too much. And then someone was like, oh, well, I thought that was actually perfect. And then hearing everyone else's opinions, I gained my own, which was like, now I know what my mom does for work. I know what philanthropy is. And I think it's really cool. And I didn't really care about other people's opinions because I was like, now I finally know.
And you pretty much brought the house down. I mean, you were like the final comment from everybody. And I remember like the kind of room kind of went silent and we were all like, and our work here is done because we are now educating the next generation on what philanthropy is and how to make the world a better place. We were all very, very impressed. So I really have been thinking about that. And we've been talking a lot more about that word and what the charitable sector is. So when I ask you, like, would I say the words nonprofit or charity, what do those words or concepts mean for you?
Honestly, nonprofit to me just is like means the same thing. Nonprofit's kind of like you're not gaining like anything in return for it, kind of, except like, I guess, ego or pride or something. I'm not really sure. But that goes with charity kind of, where it's like you're giving someone something that is meaningful to them, like money or something. And I think that goes with nonprofit as well, because you aren't gaining anything in return except like, oh, a pat on the back or like a thank you, which I think that's basically just what I think it is.
So is that, in my mind, you're comparing that to the word philanthropy, which philanthropy is sort of is the act of giving, is the act of sharing, whereas a nonprofit or a charity, I guess we could think of those words in two ways, right? They're both nouns, a nonprofit, a charity, like a museum, like a dog rescue, but they're also acts. And I guess right now, this first time in our conversations that I'm thinking of that way too, because one could show charity, one could show, have a nonprofit mindset, which I guess equals philanthropy in this case. Does that all make sense and resonate?
Yeah.
Do you remember when you and Abby sold lemonade and cookies and donated it all to the rescue organization where we got Benny? Benny is our 10 or 11, maybe even 12-year-old rescue dog.
I don't remember that, but I know you telling me that, it's probably true.
I have pictures, kid. I can show you.
Yeah, I don't remember, but it sounds like something that I would do.
Yeah. Well, that is philanthropy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or the many times that we have been in New York City or somewhere and you've poked us and said, can I have a couple bucks to give to that person on the corner? I mean, that's a form of philanthropy, although there'd be some arguments from people saying, you know, don't give directly to strangers, give to organizations instead. But there's something in you, I think, that makes you think that way. And I'd love to understand what that looks like. Like for you, what is it inside of you that makes you want to give, whether it's to sell lemonade and cookies or whether it's to give a cupcake to the guy sitting outside the restaurant? What are those things? How does that, what's inside of you that makes you want to make, do those kinds of givings?
Well, I think it all comes down to like empathy and growing up in a family that is big on empathy, big on feelings, and big on just like expressing how you feel and understanding. And I think for myself, and there's a lot of people out there that are just like me that want to give to other people. And like, for example, that guy on the street that was said it was his birthday and I wanted to give him something nice. And we were in Boston and I got him a cupcake because it was apparently his birthday. I don't care if it was a lie. I don't care if it was something that he just made up so he could get something in return. But it was like, just because. And I don't really have an exact answer why I do. It's just because I feel like it's the right thing to do. And there's a lot of things like play into it as well. Like, well, they could be lying. They could be just trying to get money. But that's not what I'm thinking about. If someone's in need, then I'm willing to give them whatever they need.
You're just like that in general, though, too. You're a very empathetic person. And I always feel very proud when you turn that feeling and that human response into an action. We did an experiment the other day, and it's not the first time that you've been given money to contribute to a cause, but this time you had $100 to designate to any organization through a bigger organization called Global Giving. And this time we sort of talked about it each step of the way. And it started with my asking you what you feel are the biggest and most important issues and problems in this world that you are most concerned with. Do you remember how you answered that, or how would you answer that now?
Yeah, I remember answering the question, like giving you a lot of responses like, oh, human trafficking, drug abuse, drug trafficking, and child labor, stuff like that. And I mean, I would say the same things now that are like, in my opinion.
And then we went a step further, right? Because those are big, huge global issues. And then I think I asked you something along the lines of like, where does that impact? Like, and if you were looking at geography, where would you want to then further narrow your focus? Because what we were talking about was, instead of just like scrolling through and like looking at every single organization offered on Global Giving, we started with like, what matters to you? Those were your responses. Those are the issues. And then the next question, I think, was something along the lines of, is there a particular area of the country or community that you are aware of where you feel those are big issues? And I think that's how you narrowed it down, right? Where did you narrow it to?
I did the border of Mexico and America.
And why? Because we talked about that too.
Well, because I basically took everything that I said, like child labor, sex trafficking, and drug abuse and drug trafficking. And America, that's a very big issue but it comes from other places. It doesn't just happen in the US. It happens everywhere in the world. But I feel like lots of people, since lots of people are trying to come from Mexico to the US to have a better life, I feel like a lot of bad things come with it as well. And I think the sex trafficking can come with a lot of other stuff as well. So first it comes, if the sex, this is what I said to you, Mom. I said, the sex trafficking starts and then the drug trafficking starts because they start bringing the drugs to the children so the children can bring to the US. And then it was drug abuse within the children. And then it's just like a cycle that just keeps repeating. Like a circle. So I'm not saying that immigration is bad. I'm saying that bad things can come with it when it's not done the, I guess, quote unquote, the right way. So it's like when I decided to give to that one organization, I looked more into the Mexican side of it. I wasn't looking more on the U.S. side of it because it just comes into the U.S. And yes, it does start in the U.S. as well, but lots of it comes from people trying to go to America as well. So I stuck with, sex trafficking in Mexico. And that's where I found the organization I wanted to donate to.
Yeah, you had to narrow it down. And so you're saying a lot of that, although this happens in other places and in with a much broader reach, you only had $100. And where did you want to focus that $100? And you necessarily had to sort of narrow down your thinking and identify a specific place. Hey, if you had unlimited funds, like let's just say you had no care in the world about money and you had absolutely everything you want, everything you need, and carrying out those natural instincts you already have for empathy. And when you see an ill in the world or with somebody, you LJ, very naturally reach out, very naturally try to help. If you had unlimited funds, you had all the money in the world, where would you want to make the biggest difference?
That's a harder question because it's like I would want to help everyone around the world. And no matter what it takes, honestly. And I honestly don't think I could choose one place or one organization to donate to for the rest of my life. Like, because there's so many big issues that are happening right now in the world globally that many people want to fix, that many people want to donate to. But I can't, as the person that I am, I can't just donate to one organization and be like, oh, well, there we go. Like, now the problem's fixed. But then we have another issue that's been ignored.
It is a hard question. And I think that's one of the things that philanthropists can, on a global scale, or who have that sort of situation where they have all of the money that they need and want. That's where somebody like me, as we've been talking about, a philanthropic advisor can help them when they have those big, big desires to make big change and to fix things. Somebody like me can come in and take them through a process and do, you know, on a bigger scale, the little exercise that you and I did a couple of weeks ago. So let's bring this home and let me ask you, if you did have a magic wand, what would your wish for the whole social sector be? If you could make one big change in the world?
I mean, I guess one big change would definitely be like, I don't know. I feel like, I don't know, because that's hard. Because if I just made one big change, then there are other big things that need changing. And I mean, I guess a lot of things come with changing one thing that could spread out and change other things as well. But not sure.
I actually love the way you're answering that, because what you're pointing out is that one small thing has a ripple effect. So even if you made a big change, there would be ripple effect. So I'm going to suggest to you and to all of your friends that keeping philanthropy or a philanthropic mindset in your life has the opportunity to change the world. Because if every one of you, if all of us in the world did just one small thing, there'll be an impact. There'll be an effect that eventually maybe all of the social ills on the planet could be solved.
Yeah. And if I had to change one thing, probably it would be like world hunger, like end it. But that's obviously it's a global issue and like that's hard to change or make it better. But I feel like a lot of things come out of that as well. Like education can be harder to gain. Money is harder. And there's a bunch of other things. And like the things that that these people try to do to get the money are also issues as well. So I think ending world hunger could change the way people spend their money, where they get their education from, how they get their money, and where they get their food. And looking at all those aspects could change the way a lot of things are.
That's called systemic change, and you're absolutely right. And it would take the collaboration and the cooperation of multiple entities, including government and philanthropy and individuals like us. All right, this is the last question, LJ. If you could encourage your generation to be more philanthropic, to be more giving, how would you say that? What words would you say that might encourage others of your generation to be more mindful and more giving?
I feel like just a lot of people like know it's the right thing to do, but they just don't act on it because they're like, oh, someone else will do it. And I feel like that's the thing that's the biggest issue because it's like, oh, everyone's saying that though. Like, if I don't do something, someone else will. Everyone else is saying that. So it's like, who is really going to step up and do something and give to the need? And I feel like just telling people that, like, if you don't do something, no one else will. And like, that's the biggest thing since everyone's saying that. And when people see that other people, like in their age group, are doing stuff to give or help, they're going to want to do the same thing because it's all about like inspiring. It's all about fitting in at this age. And I feel like if to fit in is to feel, I guess, wanted and also liked. So I feel like if people are trying to fit in, quote unquote, then I feel like it's easier for people to give if everyone else is doing it.
If one person took the leadership and a couple other people followed, now it becomes the in thing and everybody's doing it.
I wouldn't say it's the end thing. I think it's more just like a, it's the thing. And like people should just start doing it.
Thank you. And thank you for correcting me on that and for reinforcing that. I really appreciate you spending some of your spring break chatting with me on something that's super meaningful to me. And I am watching you as we speak, and I'm loving the passion that I'm seeing coming as you use your hands, which nobody else can see. So I'll see you in a few minutes. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening in to a short and meaningful conversation between LJ Borsari and her mom.
Thank you, guys. Love you, Mom.
I love you too, kid.
Thank you for listening to Giving Voices and for being part of our community. If you have a story you'd like to share or you'd just like to geek out about philanthropy together, reach out to me at hello@givingvoicespodcast.com. I can't wait to talk with you.